Welcome to the sermon from Silver Lake Baptist Church. Our mission is to celebrate the greatness of God with all we are for the joy, hope, and renewal of our community. We are so glad you have chosen to listen to our message. We pray you will be blessed by your time with us today.
All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for just being so faithful, always true, always there. You're an ever-present help in the time of trouble. And Father, we just thank you for that. Thank you for your peace, Father. And we just pray for that peace over every person here, over folks who are going through stuff, over folks who have lost loved ones, over folks who are just struggling and what maybe with health or finances or relationships or whatever it is, Father, we just speak love and your life to shine. And thank you for meeting those needs. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. All right, so good to see you guys. You guys have an invite next week to a barbecue picnic with NEMA. It will be next Sunday afternoon, so I don't have the time. I don't remember what time, but I think it's before church. So Pastor Philip said to make sure I invite you guys, and so you guys are welcome to attend that. And so if you can, let's come support them. So we're thankful for them. So I'm going to turn this morning, and I'm going to sound like a preacher this morning. Let's turn our Bibles. Sound like a preacher yet? I am going to turn our Bibles to Psalms, and I'm going to start in Psalms 100. Like, you can't go wrong with Psalms. I love the Psalms. It's so rich. But one of the things that was in my heart, I'm just going to read. Actually, I'm going to read 99 and then drop down to 100 just because I think I love the Psalms. Right? If you ever get discouraged, go to the Psalms, man. Read the Psalms. It'll encourage you. I mean, there's certain portions of it. I mean, read a bunch of it, right? And it'll make your heart leap when you really see. And David, you know, when you think of King David and his life, it was perfect. Like, he never had a trouble in his life. You know, he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, and everything just worked out so good for him. And, you know, no trials, no tribulations, no temptations. And so as I'm reading the Psalms, I think about that. No, David, like he wasn't even, his dad didn't even believe in him enough to invite him to the party for anointing a king, right? He didn't even believe. Like, you stay out in the sheep because I know it ain't you, right? That's a lot of confidence in you, right? And so we think of King David. And most of us think of this mighty warrior, but he was a young man who maybe his dad didn't believe in him. Maybe his brothers didn't believe him. Maybe he wasn't, like he wasn't voted most likely to succeed coming out of high school, right? He didn't win popularity contests or make the honor roll, but he developed a relationship with God right where he was. In spite, it didn't matter what anyone else thought about him. It didn't matter what he thought about himself. What mattered was what him and God thought of, what God thought about him. And he knew God. And he had a relationship with God. And when he's out there, he's out minding his business, and he has to fight all these wild animals. Like, maybe not grizzly bears, but he said, I killed the lion and the bear. Right? It's still a bear. I don't care if it's a grizzly bear or a polar bear or a black bear or whatever bear. It's still a bear, at least not a teddy bear, right? I'm sure it's not talking about that, right? And he killed a lion, and so he developed a relationship with God in the midst of isolation, in the midst of rejection, in the midst of people not thinking that he was worth anything. He developed a relationship with God while he was doing what was right in front of him. And that's something we can learn, is we just do what's in front of us. We can't worry about, like, way beyond. Yesterday's gone, And tomorrow ain't promised. So what you got to do is today. He said the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So that means that every step we take is going to be one step at a time. And if we trust him and step with him, then we know that he's with us. And we know that we have hope. And we know that we have a future. And we know that he's in us and for us. And that's what David did. Starting out, like, not even invited to the party. But God knows where you are. And when you trust God and live in God, he will exalt you. He will be the one who lifts you up. He will be the one who takes you where you need to be. And it doesn't matter what man thinks about you. It doesn't matter what your neighbor thinks about you, what your spouse thinks about you, what your dad, your mom, anybody thinks about you, any human being, the government, whatever. When God says, you know what? I'm taking you to a new place. I'm taking you to a new level. I'm taking you to where I have called you to be. And he did it. And he didn't need no help. He didn't even put any ads out. Like, he didn't look the wanted ads, right? He didn't put resumes in. Do you know what happened? God said, you know what? I see you right where you are, and I have a plan and a purpose. And before you were born, before you even thought about, before the foundations of the earth, I knew who you were, and I had a plan for you. And it was greater than you could ever imagine. That's a dude who wrote a lot, good portion of the Psalms. And that's, so I think of him when I think of the Psalms, even though I know he didn't write the whole thing. But he wrote a lot of it, I think, of King David, because he's out there singing to the sheep. Like, I'm a cowboy. So they always sing, get along, little doggy, get along, little... Like, y'all, you know, sing to the cattle. When I sing to cattle, they run off and stampede, so it don't work, right? But for David, he is, like, obviously maybe playing the harp out there, you know, like the angel singing with him, you know, whatever. Right? But here he is. He's singing and praising and worshiping God right where he is. And I think that's important. We can't, and really the Holy Spirit's put that on my heart today, is for us to live right where we are. The Bible says that he's an ever-present help. An ever-present help in the time of what? In the time of trouble. Oh, man. In this world, you're going to have tribulations. In this world, you're going to have obstacles. In this world, you're going to see things come up against you. But the Bible says, oh, you better pout. You better get on the phone and call 10 friends and get their advice. You better find a way to do it on your own, because if you don't get up, you know, it just, hard work produces luck, right? You better do this, you better do that. What if one day of favor is worth 1,000 days of labor? What if one moment from God is worth more than all the one ads, all the trying to promote ourselves, all the trying to heal ourselves or get this or get that or do this or do that? What if one day, in one day of favor, is worth 1,000 days of labor? What if? What if we can trust him? I remember years ago, we were in the middle of a drought in Oklahoma. And nobody, farmers were having trouble getting hay. And so I was training horses. And so it got so bad, I went in and worked at the feed mill. And I had a real good relationship with him. And then I started buying cattle for him. We'd take care of wheat pasture cattle and stuff like that. But I remember I got down to 2 horses to train. And I was like, okay with it. Because I was just like, you know what, God, you're going to provide for me. You're going to take care of me. I'm going to be just fine. And so I remember having a dream. This dream was an amazing dream. It was a God dream. And so it just excited me. I was just so thankful for the dream. And so I went to my church, and it was a Sunday night, and I'm telling my pastor. I was like, his name was Pastor White. He is such a good man. I just loved him. He's a big influence in my life. And so I was like, Pastor, I had this dream. And I was like, it was, and I was telling him the dream. And he stops and he says, James, he's like, God told me, he said, he's going to fill your barn, and he's going to do it in the next 2 days. And I was like, yeah, whatever. did you hear my dream? Like, I was so excited about my dream, I didn't even care about what he was saying, right? And so he goes, no, did you hear what I just said? And I was like, yeah, I heard what you said, but did you hear my dream? He's like, yeah, that's from God. He's like, I can tell it's in your heart. He's like, of course it's from God, right? He's like, but watch what God's getting ready to do in your life. And like, I was struggling. Like, it was really tough right then. Like, my boots were so wear. We're out chasing cows, and they had brushed up. Sometimes cows would brush up. And so you have to crawl into the brush and move the cattle out if you don't have a dog. And thankfully he had a dog, but I'm looking down at my boots and I have like duct tape around them, like looking through the stirrup. And I'm like, boy, I'd really like a new pair of boots. And so my friend, he's the one I got my dog Skip from. He had a dog that was really good, and he just went in, scooted him out. And so we come back. I go to church that next Sunday, and I'm sitting there. And so I go down and I'm praying. We used to pray at the altars, you know. And so I'm praying to God and just so thankful that he loves me. And like, I didn't need anything but God at that time. He was all I ever needed, right? And I was just like, Lord, thank you. I was like, I'd love to have a new pair of boots, but if I don't ever get a new pair of boots, I'll just love you, right? And so I'm sitting there. I get up, and I start to walk out, and there's another guy down in a pew sitting there, and he just starts weeping and crying, and he takes off his boots, walks over, and he says, I earned these boots. He said, I was an oil man. And he said, this was a gift from me, and these boots are very valuable. And I said, I would never give them away. And he said, well, I was sitting here, the Lord spoke to me and said to give you these boots. And he hands me the boots and walks out crying like a baby. And God gave me a new pair of boots. The next day, guess what happens? Someone else comes, hey, I got a couple pair of boots. I'm going to give you some boots. And gave me, like, one was an elephant hide. You can't even get elephant hide no more. Right? I mean, just incredible what God did. But that next day, I went, after talking to my pastor, I went to, it was cool. I was starting to go into, I check cattle before I come in to see if they needed me to do anything and to help them, because sometimes they needed help, you know, bagging feed or something, and I'd help them do that. And I walk in and he goes, hey, there's a guy what come by here. He's wanting to see you. He wants to bring you a horse or two. And I was like, oh yeah. I was like, where's he at? And he goes, he's heading to your barn with the trailer right now. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah, you better go meet him. So I turned around and went back. It was like 7 miles from town. Went out there, and here he's got a trailer with 5 horses in it. And he says, I need someone to train these horses, and I hear you're the guy, so I'd like to bring you these horses. And then someone else brought me 4. And then someone else brought me... Within the end of the week, I had 26 horses in training from 2. Now tell me, I didn't put no ads out. I'm in the middle of a drought. Nobody's got any money. There's no hope. But you know what God did? He said, just like David out in the middle of the sheep field, when God decides to do something, it doesn't matter what the economy looks like. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. God says, I will do it. Will you trust me? And that's what David did. He trusted the Lord. He trusted him so much. He had a relationship with him and he knew. And that's why when he went to the giant, he's like, who are you? Who are you? Like, this dude's huge, man. Like, he could start on any football team on the line, right? It scares any basketball, any, right? This is a freak, man. And David's like, who are you to defy my God? Who are you? And he stood up there and he took him out. Not by himself, but with God. He was born and he was created not just to take out a giant, but to have a relationship with God. Because all this stuff we do, it can pass away. Right? Everything we can do. Like, I pastor, and people call me, I do pastoring. Right? I'm a horse trainer. Like, I don't train a lot of horses anymore. Does that mean that I'm not doing what God wants me to do? that I'm not doing what God called me to do? No. Those are things I do. But who I am lasts for eternity. And who I am is the Son of God. And when we put our trust in that, then that allows us to step in to whatever God wants or has for us. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you look like you've hit a wall. Maybe you feel like David and your dad or your mom or someone all your life has told you you're not worth anything and you got no hope. I want to tell you something. There's someone who's greater. He is your Father. And He dreamed about you, not just from before you were born, but before the foundations of the earth. He knew who you were. And He had a plan for you. And the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And some of you guys, when I say who can be against us, you got a list. Like, well, this is who. This is against me. This is against me. This is against me. God says, no, no. I'm not asking you who. I'm telling you, nobody. It doesn't matter. If God be for you, who can be against you? Because no one's got a chance when it comes up against God. And greater is He who's where? In me than he that is in the world. Hang on. Don't let go. Trust God. Watch what God will do. You've seen that in King David's life. Seen taking out giants, and then he was perfect. Like, he never messed up again. No. He never made any mistakes. He was so thankful. And God said, I love David because he never messes up. No? That's not what he said? No. Wasn't he a perfect dude, right? And so he messes up with Bathsheba and Uriah, and then he messes up many other times in his life, and he's off going trying to fight with the Philistines, and someone comes in and takes his whole family and everything they got, and his men are trying to kill him. And you know what he does? He goes and seeks the Lord. And the Lord says this, pursue, for you shall without fail recover all. And you know what God does? He leads him right to it, and he comes out with a greater victory than what he ever could imagine. In his entire life, God was with him. And the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart, which gives us all hope, right? Because he was not perfect in any way, shape, or form. That means that I might not be perfect, but I'm perfectly loved. And when God sees me, He doesn't see me for what I do. He sees me for who I am. And when He sees me for who I am, He says, you are perfect. And that's pretty powerful. I love Psalm 99. I'm still going to read it just because I like to read it. That's my bookmarks are receipts. It's like, you ever like your... at the store and it, like, got a receipt, and then I'm reading my Bible. I need to mark it, so I'll just grab whatever is handy. I got pens, I got this, whatever, right? So Psalms 99. The Lord reigns. Whew, I'm glad. So he's not doesn't just cut, doesn't just rope. He reigns. There's an event called raining, and they say, do you rain? Yep. Never mind. He's a cowboy. Right? He's coming back on a white horse, right? He's a healer, so he ropes. He ropes the heels, right? Going to sort out the sheep from the goat, so he's a cutter and a sorter. He's a cowboy. The Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Now, he's talking, that's a whole different message. I ain't going there because I won't get through. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Now, when we see Zion, it means the highest place. We can think about it. It's a place where God reigned, right? Where the temple was at. When you think of Zion, you think of hope. You think of the presence of God, right? And he's given us some clues here, but it's not my message, so I can't preach that, right? Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The king is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity in Jacob. You have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord your God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord, on Yahweh, on I am that I am. And he answered them. Oh, wow. He called on them. They called on him. And you know what? It says, he said, I'm sorry. You got the, this is God. I can't come to the phone right now. Please leave a message. Press 1 for English. No, it says they called and he answered them. Now watch this. The king, where am I at? Oh, and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of the cloud, and they kept his statutes and the decrees he gave. Time out. Did you read the book? They didn't keep it perfect. You know how much they messed up? You know what? God didn't see them because of the sacrifice. He saw them, the sacrifice covered their sins completely. And that was the sacrifice of sheep and goats and bulls and all this other stuff, right? That sacrifice covered their sins. So now God's like, I don't know. He said, when he says, I don't remember your sins no more, he ain't kidding. You hear, he's talking about these dudes and he's saying, like, I don't even remember. Like, you did perfect. You kept them. Hello, do you remember the golden calf? Do you remember that like 3,000 people died when the commandments come down? Right? You remember them saying, we can do them all, the pride that they had? Hey, don't you remember all this stuff? So what are you talking about? They were perfect. They were blameless. They were righteous. He's like, what are you talking about? Good thing Moses wrote it down. Otherwise, there would be no record of it. Because God's like, what are you talking about? Now watch this. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God. Though you punish their misdeeds, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain. For the Lord our God is holy. Now, that holy mountain Zion is the highest place. And so that's when we worship him, the Bible says that we worship him in spirit and in what? And in truth. In him we live and move and have our being. Not about just the 3D, but there's another realm. There's a spiritual realm which is more real than what you're seeing. What you're seeing is subject to change. But who he is eternal. And he never changes. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We can see kind of how David, he'd fight tooth and toenail for those sheep. And God's telling you, I'll fight tooth and toenail for you. I'll fight the lion. I'll fight the bear. When one of you is lost, I will go and I will find you. No matter where you are. Didn't Jesus talk about that? Will he not leave the 99 and go find the one that's lost? That's our Father. That's our Abba. That's our Dad. That's our Lord. That's who's our Shepherd, the Good Shepherd. And he's telling us he's a good God. He's a good Shepherd. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures till you mess up. It endures till next Sunday. Ooh, thank God there's another Sunday coming. Or we got a Bible study. Or now we can just turn on the TV and we got all these TV preachers on there. So we can, like, whoo. No. Whose mercy endures for when? Whose love endures for when? Forever. And his faithfulness continues through a few generations. How many? All generations. We can trust him. We can trust him in our generation. We can trust him in our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids and on and on and on. Because he's faithful. Amen? Psalms 101, I love this. I will sing of your love and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praise. I will be careful to lead a blameless life. Now, I'm going to talk about this blameless. Oh, see here, Pastor James. He says you got to be blameless. I'm glad you talked about that because I'm going to address that. When will you come to me? I will walk in my house with blameless heart. It doesn't say a blameless heart. It says with blameless heart. Now, watch this. I will set before my eyes no vile thing. The deeds of faithless men I hate. Of what kind of men? What's the root of all sins? Unbelief. They will not cling to me. Men of perverse heart shall be far from me. I will have nothing to do with evil. Now, evil is trying to do stuff, trying to earn stuff in your own power. Wickedness is like when he's referring to who's the dude who lost his job and everything else? Job, however you say it, right? He had his wicked friends, right? That's what it's talking about is wickedness is, are you going to man for your answers? Are you seeking man for what you want? Are you seeking men's opinion over what God said? Because we quote a lot of things that Job's friend says in the Bible, and God rebuked them for what they said, and we quote, well, it's in Scripture, yeah, but you need to read a little longer because God already said that's a bunch of bonk himself. Are you trusting everyone else's opinion, what everyone else is saying, or are you trusting your own efforts? Because I'm telling you, when you think that you can earn your salvation and you can earn your blessings, that's the epitome of evil. Because what you're saying is, Jesus, I don't need you. What you done doesn't matter. And it's going against what God says and against what God done. Is your trust in your own efforts? Or is your trust in the opinions of man? Either one's going to let you down. I'm going to trust in him. Now watch this. Whoever slanders his neighbor in secret, him will I put to silence. Whoever is haughty, who has haughty eyes and a proud heart, him will I not endure. My eyes will be on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He whose walk is blameless will minister to me. Now you're like, Pastor James, you keep talking about this blameless, and then now you're talking about how wicked is the opinion of other men and the evils when we're trying to do it in our own strength and our own power. And he's saying, be blameless. How am I going to be blameless? Because like I'm like King David, man. I ain't perfect. I'm like Paul. It doesn't matter who you are in the Scripture. The dudes who wrote the Bible were not perfect in the flesh, but in the spirit, God saw them a different way. He's like, I'm not looking at you the way that all those people are looking at you, or even the way that you're looking at you. I'm looking at you through another lens, and it's through the blood of the cross. And it's through the way that you were created to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. It's nothing about what you do, but it's everything about what he done. if we're going to be blameless, all our blamelessness comes because of what Jesus did and what God did and the sacrifice that they had on the cross. We are blameless, perfectly blameless. He doesn't even remember. He's like, well, didn't you see what I did? Don't you know where I've been and what I've done? And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Your sins are like, I've cast them away as far as the east is from the west. Come to me, all who are weary. Quit trying to save yourself. Quit trying to get the opinions of all your friends so that they can save you. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you hope. I'll give you peace. I am your peace. And speaking of peace, that word blameless in Hebrew is a word called tamim, which means complete, sound, whole. It's real similar to the word that we talk about in Hebrew that we call peace, which is shalom, which means completeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. He's saying, walk in me, being complete, being whole, knowing that I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I am not common. I am not ordinary. I am not rotten scum, but I am a son of the Most High God. And guess when Jesus, God paid all my sins. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't say, well, I'll have to cover that one and that one and that one, but you're on your own on this one. All of them. Like, he don't even remember. Like, I forgot. What are you talking about? Hey, son, come here. Come, sat with me. Come, know me. Come live with me. Come have a relationship with me. Because guess what? I'm way more for you than you are for yourself. And that's pretty powerful when you think about it. Blameless, he said. So that means this. I am blameless. I am whole. I am complete. I am righteous. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am free. In whom the Son sets free? It's free indeed. I am. I am blameless. Blameless heart. Now he talks about a blameless heart. Love and encouraging. Not blaming myself or others. Because guess what? If you don't remember my sins, you ain't remembering yours either, even the ones that you've done to me or I've done to you. You take it to the cross? It's what? What you talking about? Anybody ever hurt you really bad and then you see God bless them? And you're like, but God, didn't you know what they did 50 years ago? You see what they did? I was like, what are you talking about? All I see is my son and my daughter. You're not looking at those things. He doesn't look at man like we look at man. He looks at man on the heart. And I want to live from my heart. I want to live with a blameless heart, complete and sound, not in the 3D realm, as they would call it in science, but in the spirit realm and in him. Because in him, I live. In him, I move. And in him, I have my doing.
Being.
I have my being. Don't trust just what these eyes see. Because I will take God's word over what these eyes see any day. Amen? So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for your peace, and we thank you for your love, and we just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out our website at www.silverlakebaptist.org.